What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Issues 2024. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Terry Moses, Director of Safety and Environmental Services, Wichita Public Schools. Welcome to Issues 2024, Terry.
Great to be here.
I'm curious about one part of your job title.
Yes.
What are environmental services?
Does that mean
that you count the trees or what?
No. It's still a big part of safety. We have buildings that are over 100 years old. We have buildings that have a variety of issues, such as asbestos. We have to have an asbestos plan for every single building. We're doing proactive things on environmental, like we're testing for lead in the water in all of our buildings. And we also tested for radon in all of our buildings. And those are things just to make sure that it's still safety.
Yeah.
We want to make sure that our buildings are as safe as possible for the community, our students, and our staff.
All right. So now, how long have you been in this position at USE 259?
I've been here 11 years.
11 years?
Yes.
Well, I know before that, I'm well aware of your history. Before that, You had a pretty good career as a law enforcement officer in WPD. Tell me about that.
I enjoyed it. I spent 33 years with the Wichita Police Department, started as a beat cop just like everybody does, and just I had a great opportunity to do a little bit of everything. I tell people I was the master of no trades, but was aware of all of them, and that's one thing working for the department the size of Wichita you can do. I did a variety of things and just really loved this community and how it supports its public servants. And that's why I moved when I retired to another public service job.
You must have been a heck of a recruit. You came with, a college degree from Wichita State, did you not?
That's correct.
Was it in criminal justice or anything?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you kind of knew where you're going.
Still very naive.
Yeah.
I came from a very small town in Kansas. And 1A school and a small community and came to Wichita, had a lot to learn, but had some great mentors along the way, some people that worked with me. And like I said, the community's been very, very, I think this community is very appreciative of its public servants, and that makes it fun to work. Difficult job, but still very worthwhile.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah, and when you cashed in, you were at what Frank, were you deputy chief?
Deputy chief, yes, sir.
So that's pretty good.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, somebody saw something in you there. As you said, you had some good mentors.
Yes, I did.
Now, recently, you received the Excellence in Public Service Award for Wichita Public Schools from the DeVore Foundation.
Yes, sir.
Sounds like quite an honor.
It is. It was a surprise. I am very, very honored, humbled. I know a lot of people that received that award in the past, and they are great public servants, people that work very hard in this community. And so I was very humbled and honored to receive it. I think the DeVore Foundation is another example of how this community truly supports public servants, whether it's the schools or law enforcement. So we have groups like that.
What is DeVore Foundation?
I'm not really
familiar with it.
A group of people who basically give money, of course, to a variety of things to support public servants. In this case, I know they support a lot of other things. Unfortunately, I can't name right off the top of my head their primary supports, but they do support and have supported for a number of years the city, the county, and the Wichita Public School System.
All right. Now, let's go back to what you're doing now with the USE 259. How many people are under your supervision? How many people in your department, Terry?
We have around 70.
70?
Mm-hmm.
And give us an idea of the geography of your responsibilities. How many buildings in USD 259? And you got to keep track of all of them, sure.
That's right. We have about 100 properties, 94 of them, which are currently mainly be using for what we call attendance centers. And that's where students attend schools. And then, of course, we have our administrative buildings and our school service center, which is where our building maintenance, painters, electricians, all those people work out of. and our IT department. So we have a variety of things. Those buildings range in age from over 100 years old to ones that are about 6 years old, and a variety of sizes of properties. And so we have to take care of all of those. We have somewhere around 47,000 students, and with substitutes, close to 10,000 employees. And my responsibilities include making sure all of those people are safe and secure and welcomed every day when they come to work or come to school.
You're talking about the USD 259. You're talking about, if it was a city, it'd be about the size of Hutchinson, maybe?
Very, very close. Yeah. At one time, we were just right underneath Manhattan. Now, I know Manhattan's grown some, but we were just shy of Manhattan, Kansas.
But at one time, it was over 50.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And it's gone back a little bit.
Yeah. We anticipate our research. The studies have shown that, as with most things, suburban growth is out there and inner city growth is not. And certainly with the birth rate and the growth rate, we anticipate that enrollment in public schools like ours, which are in inner city areas, will probably decline over the next several years.
Hmm. Now, do your people patrol all those places at all hours?
Yes, we do. We have people that work 24/7 to watch those buildings, primarily responding to alarms and situations where public calls and say, hey, something's going on that isn't right. Occasionally, we'll have things like students, or not students, but young people who like to climb on the roof of a building, and we'll get a call. And it's generally young people just
bored.
Bored and doing young people things,
you know,
not causing any damage. Just like, oh, look, I could have, yeah.
I can kind of identify that in Wichita. Yeah, climbing on top of a building sounds like pretty good.
Yes, we have that happen occasionally. Oh,
tell me about police department resource officers in the Wichita schools.
We have a total of 8 of those. We have 7 of them with the Wichita Police Department and 1 with the Bel Air Police Department. A lot of people don't know, but Northeast Magnet is actually located in the Bel Air city limits. And we have a great relationship with that department. And, of course, we have a great relationship with the Wichita Police Department. Our 7 officers are great resources to us and to the students. They provide mentoring. They provide law-related education. And, of course, they provide law enforcement services when needed.
That's my next question. What impact do these SROs actually have on the schools, on the students?
I tell people when I go to a event, whether it be a basketball game, even a play, and I see a student walk up and interact with a police officer in a positive manner, you know, tap them on the shoulder, introduce their younger brother or sister to them, there's so much value in that, in knowing that you've got another trusted adult within our building that a student can go to. One of the things that we know, in order for students to be successful, they have to have multiple trusted adults in our lives. Things are going to happen. You talk about con jobs. People are going to try to con kids, talk kids into doing things that are inappropriately. We know that impulse control on young people is not yet developed. So the more positive trusted adults that we can get in a person's life, the better. And certainly having one that's in a uniform that can interact with students on a daily basis is a real positive.
How police look at that? I mean, are the rank and file say, I'd really like to do that, or is it just something that certain people want to do?
I think it's certain people. Yeah. I think certain officers interact with students really, really well. You take the homeless outreach team on the Wichita Police Department. There's a group of people that are very committed to working with that group of folks. You know, whether everybody has their little niche in terms of what they enjoy doing. You know, you got the mounted unit, you've got the motorcycles. I would never ride a motorcycle. But we have people that absolutely love it. And it's the same thing with SROs. We're very fortunate to have SROs that really enjoy working with that youth population, and they do it very well.
I haven't heard much about this recently. A few years ago we did. Here's some... Well, quite a bit about it, and that is do you know how many kids enrolled in the schools here in Wichita are actually homeless?
I don't know the numbers, but I know that we do have
some, though.
A lot. The definition of homeless for schools is a little bit different than the definition that you would use on the streets. We have what's called couch surfers. You know, a student who for some reason isn't comfortable at home, isn't getting along with the home environment, they may go live with an aunt or an uncle, or even just show up on a friend's couch. Those students still need services. They need support. And we have a program that's called the McKinney-Vento program that really works hard to identify those students and make sure that they have the support needed so they can graduate on time with their cohorts just like any other student.
And some of those kids are probably not really motivated to come to school, and I'll bet you some of them really are super motivated
We've seen both. And you go back to SROs, we had an example. We had a young girl whose mother died, and that was a sole caregiver, and had a hard time. She was 17 years old, looking at graduation, and our SRO worked really hard with that student to find a place for that student to live, to find support, and ended up actually helping that student get a scholarship so that they could not only graduate but go on to a small college.
That's a heck of a story.
Yes.
A real good story.
Absolutely.
I don't know what I would do if I was a kid in that situation. But thanks goodness somebody was there.
Yes, absolutely. And that's why we have to look at all students. We tell people all the time that you've got the students that are very active in class, those that aren't, and those that are in the middle. And we've got to interact with all of them, check up on all of them on a daily basis, and to make sure that they're comfortable, they feel welcome, and that they're supported.
Tennessee has passed a law that allows teachers to be armed with guns in class. What do you think of that idea, Terry?
I think that we'd have to really look at the guidelines for that. One of the things that I know from my time as a law enforcement officer, in order to carry a firearm, you need to be trained much more than what I think the current carry conceal rules are in terms of safety, in terms of use. I distinctly remember, 45 years ago, my lieutenant in the range really talking about this is the greatest weight you will ever carry, your ability to take someone's life. And I think that before we go into anything like that, people really need to have solid training and understand the weight of those decisions. And it would be difficult, I think, to put up a situation where we could train people enough. You ask your average law enforcement department about how much time they spend at the range, how much money they spend on ammunition, making sure weapons are appropriately, just like taking care of your car. They need to be serviced. They need to be taken care of. They get dirty like anything else. And if a weapon's going to work appropriately, it needs to be cared for. So all of those things would need to be put in place before I would support any type of a carry by other employees within the...
And you mentioned a very subtle part of the equation. As far as I'm concerned, I'll interject here. I know people who arm themselves and so forth. I want to ask them, now just think this through. Do you really want to kill somebody? Because that's what could happen.
And
that's terrible.
And again, I go back to the first conversation we ever had when I was learning how to use a firearm as a law enforcement officer. That was the most serious, sobering conversation that lieutenant had, and it stuck with me all these years. And I do think sometimes in a world where firearms are more readily available that people don't have that conversation with themselves about what commitment am I going to make.
It's a soul searching.
Absolutely.
You're listening to Issues 2024 on the Odyssey radio stations, and our guest is Terry Moses, Director of Safety and Environmental Services, Wichita Public Schools. Let's talk about a few of the challenges that students and teachers face now. How big a problem is bullying?
Bullying exists and has existed since the beginning of time. It's always difficult when you have relationships that go awry, when you have people that don't get along with each other. Again, that's why we focus on those trusted adults, giving students who are in uncomfortable situations an adult that they can go to and work through those problems. A lot of bullying is a lot like everything else in law enforcement. It's prevention. We have programs that start in kindergarten about problem solving. When I get mad at somebody, how do I deal with that anger? Do I take a deep breath? Do I step away? Do I work through my anger issues in a positive way, or do I work through my anger issues in a negative way? And you've got to start very early talking with students about how to deal with relationships.
So what can a student do if he or she is being bullied?
The number one thing we do tell students to do is to go to a trusted adult. And that's why we want to make sure all of our students have that trusted adult in a school. Work through the issues, problem solve with the person involved. We always, like anything, you always want to start working as positively as possible. We want to work things out. And then, of course, it's no different than any other part of the world. If it doesn't work out, then you have to take the next step. Maybe then move to an administrator within the school.
Of course, from a parent's standpoint, I know what my first reaction would be if I were a parent, and that would be pretty much anger, probably very, very angry. Yeah. What do you tell parents?
Same thing.
You got to get them in and say, listen, we got to talk through this, huh?
Same thing. It is, how do you deal with your anger issues? We've got to talk through it, walk through it, and say, okay, what are kind of positive things that we can do to resolve the problem? People will have conflicts. That is, I mean, you look at the history, the written history of the world, and it is full of conflicts. Mm-hmm. And our best resolutions are one where we sit down and work them out, and we ask parents to do the same thing. Reach out to that trusted adult within the school. Reach out to the administration. Talk through the situation and support your student as best you can. One of the things we really encourage parents to do is simply to listen. A lot of times kids just need to vent and talk about situations that are uncomfortable and give them the guidance to, hey, I know it's uncomfortable. Here are things that maybe worked for me. But again, always doing them in a positive light.
How does this tie in with suicide prevention and awareness?
Suicide prevention and awareness is a big part of what we do in USD 259. We have a set protocol to talk to students if we get information that a student has said something that is suicidal or made a statement. We also have an anonymous reporting program. We're very, very fortunate to have a strong counseling program, psychologists, social workers. We have what's called child study teams, which are made up of all of those folks. Again, those are trusted adults that will work with students when they become aware of a situation that where a student may be saying or doing something that shows a suicidal tendency.
Now, when we talk about this, but I just brought up in my mind, what's a social impact, social media impact? The cell phones and all that.
It is like so many things in the world, there are positives and negatives. I think the negatives are with the younger students. There's a push nationwide to move that age back to when students would be allowed to use social media. Right now, most social media platforms make you say you're 13 to use them. We see regularly kids 11, 12 or even 10 that are on social media platforms. And when we talk about impulse control, we know that it's not developed with students that age. And when they see negative things, they do negative things. And I think that one of the things we have to do with a lot of those platforms is educate our students before they move on to them. Just like you wouldn't let a student drive when they're 10. There's a reason for the driving age. There's a reason for the alcohol age. There's a reason for the age for tobacco. Because studies have shown that students, their brain isn't developed yet, and it's the same thing with social media. On the other side, what we see with our Google searches, ChatGPT, AI, there are so many exceptionally wonderful learning tools that are out there that you and I never had access to. You know, we had the encyclopedias we had to go to. Now they have up-to-date information that is just at their fingertips. So it is the positive technology, and it also carries that negative weight as well.
In the past few months, we've had several stories, news stories, about 14-year-old kids with guns shooting and killing people, at least a couple.
Yes.
And it upsets me. I know it upsets you, too. A 14-year-old kid,
yes.
Where do they get those guns?
Generally at home. When you look at the last two national cases that have just been in the recent headlines, the six-year-old student who took a gun to school, that parent was charged with allowing that six-year-old student to have access. And then in Ohio, the two parents that were charged when the high school student shot and killed some students. Again, parents allowed those students to have access. I tell people all the time, and people who know me, lock them up, lock them up, lock them up. I'm a firearm owner. I was carried a firearm. I grew up on a farm. I used a firearm. I'm not opposed to anyone appropriately carrying a firearm. It's when we don't lock them up, we don't secure them, we don't make sure that students or any young person has inappropriate access to them. And certainly, if you even have when you talk about suicide, if you have a family member that's going through a depression or a difficult time, have that conversation with them and say, I'll be happy to keep your gun for you. I'll lock it up and keep it safe.
Do you have regular training for your security people? Do you study school shootings and formulate plans and procedures?
We really focus on learning from others. Recently they just had the second research study done from Uvalde. The incident that we just talked about in Ohio, there was a study on it. We read those. We read through those. We pick out the important lessons learned. We just trained a new administrative professionals just a couple weeks ago. And we go through those and we pick out those lessons learned and use that as an opportunity to say, these are the things that we need to improve on. You take storm shelters. We learned over the years that we're in Tornado Alley, and now every one of our buildings has a storm shelter. Those are things that we've learned from things that happened, and we do the same thing with incidents or crisis incidents in schools.
That was my next question. It's the weather season is here. What kind of preparations have been made for the schools?
Well, we're very fortunate. Again, I think the city of Wichita has been very supportive of its public school system. And in 2008, the bond issue was passed that allowed every one of our buildings that's an attendance center to build a storm shelter. So we have a storm shelter in every building. The state of Kansas requires us to do two tornado drills, one in September and one in March. And we completed ours in March. But even late yesterday, we got notification of the weather. And of course, we were telling people who had late afternoon or evening events last night to be prepared. Mm. And so there's always going to be an administrator or someone in charge. Whether it's a spelling bee or a drama or some type of a club activity that's going on in a building, but we're going to notify them that there's potential weather and they should be paying attention and that they know what their plans are, even after hours as well as during the school day.
What's the biggest challenge in your job, Terry?
The diversity of it, that every day you've got something different to look at. We've got weather one day, you've got a suicidal incident that maybe occurs another day, you've got an angry parent that occurs another day, you've got a dog that gets loose on a playground on another day. It's just the variety, but that's also what makes it incredibly rewarding.
That sounds to me like a lot like what you did in law enforcement.
It's very similar.
Like being a police officer.
It's very similar, and I tell people I'm blessed. I've had a purpose when I talk to young people about what they want to do for a living. I tell people to find your purpose, to find something that when you show up every day, it's not feeling like you're going to work. And I've got a purpose, and it is a very rewarding job.
There has been had a news story this week about police hiring is coming back a little bit after after the pandemic and some problems that looks like do people want to be police officers again?
And I learned this a long time ago, policing is a wonderful accommodation or combination of action, comedy, and tragedy. And when you go to a movie, you think, what do you go to a movie for? You either want to see action, comedy, or tragedy. And it allows you to live that. It allows you to experience the highs and lows of life. And that's what makes it rewarding, and the fact that you get to help people along the way.
All right. We're out of time. Thanks again. Thanks for spending some time with us. We appreciate that.
Well, I always appreciate the offer to come in.
All right. Our guest is Terry Moses, Director of Safety and Environmental Services, Wichita Public Schools. That's all for Issues 2024. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.